Today on Water Science for a Changing World, a rebroadcast interview from the 2010 South Carolina Water Resources Convention. This podcast appears courtesy of the South Carolina Public Radio program, Your Day. How can we make your
day? Welcome to this Thursday edition of Your Day. We'll learn about the work of the U.S. Geological Survey when Donna London talks with Eric Strom, director of the South Carolina Water Science Center and a participant in the 2010 South Carolina Water Resources Conference. We want to make your day. This is Your Day. I'm Diana Daniels. Thank you for joining us today. We begin with an update on the work of the U.S. Geological Survey with Donna London, director of the Jim Self Center on the Future.
I'm speaking with Mr. Eric Strom. He is director of the USGS, South Carolina Water Science Center, USGS, U.S. Geological Survey.
That's correct.
And welcome, Mr. Strom.
Thank you. Good to be back.
It's good to see you again. It's been 2 years since we were here before.
That's right.
When we think of the USGS, the U.S. Geological Survey, we think of maps. I know that's a very small part of all of the work that you do to put together information in a visual fashion for people, but give our listeners a sense of what goes on in your office. I know you're headquartered in Columbia, but you've got extensions out there across the state.
That's right. Our main office is in Columbia, South Carolina in the state, but we also have an office in Sullivan's Island. We have an office at Clemson, and we also have an office in Conway near Myrtle Beach. As you mentioned, we're very much known for our maps, and I think we're very much known for our work with earthquakes, our work with volcanoes. We may be less known for our work with biology, but we do quite a bit of biology as well, but also water resources. And in this state, primarily what we do is water resource work.
I see. And then, I introduced you at the beginning as the director of the South Carolina Water Science Center. Is there this office in every one of the states?
Yes, we have a presence in every state, I believe, in the United States. So we're represented out there on the landscape. We have a website for each individual state as well as our national website, where the public can go and find all about the local resources and what we have available to them.
Now, of course, I'm going to want to talk about water since we're at the 2010 South Carolina Water Resources
Sure.
Conference, but also you mentioned it first, so I want to hear about earthquakes and where we sit in South Carolina in terms of earthquakes.
Well, a lot of people don't know this, but there was a major earthquake in South Carolina in the Charleston area in the late 1800s. It was greater than a magnitude 7, I believe, and that's very significant. So there is an earthquake danger potentially here in South Carolina, though we see a lot of microquakes, a lot of small quakes every day. We haven't seen anything like that since the late 1800s.
You hear rumblings almost across the state in terms of sitting on faults.
Mm-hmm.
Is there truth to that, and what's the outlook?
Okay.
Particularly since it's been a while since we had the major one.
And from what we know, those faults were located very much down near the Somerville area of the coast. It's true there are faults all over the state, but that doesn't mean they're active faults.
Well, let's get back to USGS and what's going on in terms of water and what you're doing to be sure that the information that we get is up to date and accurate.
Okay, good question. There are three main things that we really focus on here in South Carolina. We focus on research, we focus on hydrologic investigations, and we focus on collecting the data, monitoring. We collect data in real time. That is, we make measurements of stream flow, of water quality, of groundwater levels every 15 minutes, and we telemeter that information up to a satellite where you can view it on your web page
mm-hmm.
Within a very short amount of time. We've actually been doing that now for almost 30 years. When the technology was new, South Carolina was one of the first states to really adopt it with the USGS. And so we got out well ahead of the curve in that regard. We have over 170 sites that we monitor stream flow in near real time. We've got about 45 sites where we're measuring water quality. That's used for various reasons, sometimes as an alert system even, and groundwater sites. We've got about 20 in the state. Mm-hmm. And aside from the real-time information that we monitor, we also have about that many sites, again, where we do periodic measurements and individual investigation-type measurements each year.
And let me be clear about this. When you say that you've got that and it's available, does that mean that if I knew what I was looking at, that I could take a look at that on the website?
Oh, certainly. You could view the information right before lunch of stream flow at a gauge nearby your house if you're interested. Perhaps you're a kayaker or a recreationist, you want to go fishing. You're looking to see what the stage is in that river so you can plan your day around it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you can get online and within an hour you'll see what that latest measurement was.
And in terms of industry in the state, I know we talked about the recreational components, but industry that might need to know what the flows are and how that's going to affect their operations.
Very important information for industry.
Mm-hmm.
Some industries need to have discharges, so they need to know what the amount of discharge in a river is, so that they know if they can make a discharge. The assimilative capacity of the river is something very important. You've probably heard discussed here at the talks. Just in terms of supply and intake, is there enough in the river that you can take what you need out? I think you probably at the conference learned that we're looking at permitting now in South Carolina for withdrawal. And as the state moves towards that, having accurate, real-time information about discharge and stage in the stream is going to be critical
mm-hmm.
To that process, I believe.
And there were a number of people that have talked about the importance of research and the importance of monitoring. Is there duplication of services there, or people working together to bring the information out so that it's useful to everyone?
I think there's a lot of collaboration going on. I think at a conference like this, we tend to learn what each other is doing and how we can collaborate so that we're not so much duplicating effort, but that we're working together towards a common goal. And I see a lot of that going on here amongst state and federal agencies and the universities, as well as with the private sector.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You were mentioning earlier about the health and the environmental issues and water quality, what you're doing with some of your monitoring. Why is that important, and who is that important to?
Well, a variety of reasons for a variety of different folks. For instance, I gave a little talk earlier today on a salinity alert network where down on the coast in the Cooper River, the salt water can migrate up that river under high tides and low flows. And that then can endanger the freshwater intakes of industries there. We monitor with a partnership of the Corps of Engineers in real time the migration of that salt water so that we can help the industries protect those intakes. As
mm-hmm.
a result, freshwater releases from reservoirs are done and the migration of the salt water is pushed back. So that's one application. Other applications are we have a lot of emerging contaminants today. You might have heard several talks on that. A lot of the things that we ingest, medications, what have you, personal health care products, those things are ending up, out into the environment. And they've always probably been doing so, but we've just now gotten to the point where we can measure them at very low levels. And we do those kinds of measurements because we want to understand what is the fate and the transport of these things. Do they degrade rapidly in the streams, in those environments, Do the rivers have an assimilative capacity for that? Are they something that will build up in the sediment and become, you know, a real problem down the line environmentally? These are all questions that really are fundamental and need some answers.
Right, right. And the only way to do that is to do that research and get that information from your monitoring out there. A young man this morning with Upstate Forever mentioned the issue of phosphates and a phosphate ban. And apparently that was put on the table, or it never made it through the Senate committees, if I understand correctly. That would be one of those areas where that base information would be important.
Well, as a matter of fact, we've been doing a regional model of the whole Southeast. It's referred to as a Sparrow model. It's a type of a regression model, water quality regression model, and one of the constituents that we're looking at is phosphate, mm-hmm. along with nitrate. The model was recently completed, and what it will do is it will help resource managers identify, on a regional basis, areas that are major contributors of things like phosphate. So it will help managers focus their efforts to places that will be the most effective, mm-hmm. where best management practices can be implemented. So working in that field, too.
In terms of the policymakers, are they coming to USGS and using your data before they make some of the policy decisions that they're making?
Oh, I believe in many cases that's occurring, yes. We ourselves do not make policy. We are non-regulatory, completely non-regulatory. What we try to do is provide the information, the pure science, if you will, in an unbiased fashion. We kind of like to think of ourselves as the Switzerland, that those policymakers can use as the basis for their decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, at places like this, we have many presenters to try to get that information out to those policymakers. I have meetings that I attend in which I try to brief them on what's relevant to what they're dealing with in the state. So oftentimes, yes, I believe they're coming to us for that information if I'm not out there trying to get it to them myself.
Well, one thing that has to come to mind to people that attend conferences like this and drink a lot of caffeine, getting back to something that you said earlier, are the emerging contaminants in the water. And from what I understand, caffeine is one of them.
Caffeine is a big one. It shows up quite frequently.
We may all be contributing to that.
That's right. Mm. That's right. But we'd want to know under what conditions will mm-hmm. that caffeine degrade in the environment. Under oxic conditions will it degrade? Anoxic conditions? All those things are things that we're trying to find out, you know. So we want to know if the fish are going to be really caffeinated or not, you know.
They may get away quicker that way.
That's right.
It could be a trouble. Well, Eric Strom, director of the USGS South Carolina Water Science Center, I want to thank you for spending time with us today and for the information that you gave us the last time you were on the program. And I sure hope that we can stay in touch, because I know that there is a lot going on in your operation that we all need to know more about and make good use of.
Thank you very much. The pleasure is mine.
I've been speaking with Mr. Eric Strom. He is director of USGS South Carolina Water Science Center. For the Jim Self Center in the Future, I'm Donna London.
You'll find links to the website of the South Carolina Water Science Center and more information from the 2010 South Carolina Water Resources Conference at yourday.clemson.edu.
Rebroadcast courtesy of Your Day.